Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay. This was... I was thinking over the weekend and then with everything going on with the NFL. And then got into it this morning with some younger friends of a family member of mine over the NFL stuff. And then just to, and then I'm just looking around all day and listening to things and doing some show prep. And I'm like, you know what? There's so many crazy things going on and so many alarming things going on in our nation right now that to spend three segments, and then we'll do a Money Monday update at the end of the show. We got a lot to talk about there. With David Fisher, we'll talk about the markets and things rebounding and what should we expect until election. 50 days from today. That's all we're out. 50 days from today, and what's the state of America? We kind of did that kind of funny title on the Facebook page for the Facebook Live. So if you want to join us on Facebook Live for those of you on radio, if you want to engage another one of your senses, that being your sight, your vision, you can jump onto the Steve Noble page on Facebook. And America Burning Part 163, because it seems like that's all that's going on here lately, is that our country, our nation is in deep trouble. And it is. And interestingly enough, earlier today, this is not normal for our second child, who I'm going to do an SOB podcast with here in the near future. And not normal for her to text me and ask me a question about end times. But she graduated from NC State in May and is pursuing different career things and trying to land a job, which is very difficult in this environment. And she texted me earlier today because she's working full time right now at a salon that she had worked at during college, which pays her well. It's a great job in the meantime. Asking me questions about Jesus's return and end times and saying that people at the salon are talking about it because things are so crazy. Now, a lot of people are just, that's just becoming more of an issue. So in a couple of weeks, we're going to do back-to-back theology Thursdays with a new friend of mine about end times theology and all the different versions, especially the rapture. Does a rapture occur? When does a rapture occur? The tribulation, the great tribulation, the rise of the Antichrist, or otherwise known as the man of lawlessness, who would fit right in these days here in America, right? And then I was like, no, you know what? To quote my friend Forrest Hobbs right there, I was about to say this, to quote my friend Forrest Hobbs right there on Facebook Live, who cares about the NFL? Now, I would say the NFL matters as a picture of what's going on. And Colin Kaepernick, the captain of the changing dynamic at the NFL, that's the only job he can get there, apparently. That was just rude, but whatever. Colin Kaepernick blasts newly woke NFL on opening day, calls the league social justice focused propaganda, which is what I would call it. I think it's just virtue signaling. I think it's just pandering. And so this is what's going to work. I've got the answer. I know I've said the gospel before is the answer to racism here and race relations here in the United States. But obviously it's not. What you really need to do is get a bunch of professional athletes, in the NFL's case, predominantly African-American athletes who are quite wealthy and quite privileged, if you want to go there, and get them to, you know, put some pressure on the NFL, and the NFL not wanting to have a problem with the public. That's funny. They're going to start painting end zones with certain Black Lives Matter kind of messaging and social justice kind of messaging. And then players on the teams, the guys, am I allowed to call them guys? The guys that are putting names on the back of their helmets and all. And yeah, that's going to solve it. Let's get a bunch of wealthy athletes, the majority of whom are Black, at least in the NFL, and do some signaling, some virtue signaling, put a couple things on your helmets and put a couple things in the end zone, play the regular national anthem, but also play what's known as the Black national anthem, which is kind of a, actually, if you go look at the lyrics and look at the song in and of itself, it's a beautiful song. about the trials and tribulations of African Americans, especially coming out of slavery and then Jim Crow laws and such. But then to call it the Black National Anthem, which just begs all kinds of trouble and problems, and to play that, I think they were playing it not back to back, because apparently the NFL isn't that crazy yet, but they played them both, and then some teams just decide not to come out at all for either one of them. And all that, do all that with the NFL, and boom, who needs the gospel? Everything's going to be fine, right? Problem solved. Good job, NFL. So Colin Kaepernick, this is a story on the Daily Wire. Former San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick, it's funny they're still using that phrase, blasted the National Football League, calling it propaganda. The NFL announced earlier this year that in the wake of massive anti-racism and anti-police brutality protests that took place in nearly every city following the death of George Floyd, that they're going to embrace Black Lives Matter slogans and encourage its players to take part in demonstrations, service projects, and social justice-focused initiatives. The NFL also committed to playing Lift Every Voice, the Black National Anthem, before some games during opening week. None of that matters, Kaepernick said Sunday, if Reed, his former teammate and vocal supporter, remains blacklisted. While the NFL runs propaganda about how they care about black life, they are still actively blackballing Eric Reed for fighting for the black community. I guess Eric Reed is a buddy of Kaepernick's and was the first one to step up and support him when Kaepernick took a knee and did all that stuff and wore the socks and this, that, and the other thing. But I'm agreeing with Kaepernick on this one. It's just propaganda. It's just virtue signaling. My question is, and this one, this is the deal. I said this before when the national anthem take a knee and when a lot of the NFL owners were like, you ain't doing that stuff on my time. You take your social media crusade, you take your social media messaging, you take your social justice, you take your political things, and you do that outside the stadium. You've got quite a platform, so go use it. You're just not using it on my field at this time during a game. That's too divisive. It's not what you're here for, so knock it off. And I think at the time I said, like, when I still had my painting business, if you showed up and you worked for me and you came to a job site, and you're like, hey, Steve, I'm going to plop this political poster right here on the job site, while we're painting houses, I would have said, no, you're not. And either get it out of here or you're fired, because this is not the place for your political opinion or social opinion, whatever it is. And so with the NFL owners, I'm like, hey, they own the team. They own the stadium. Do what you want to do. I wouldn't allow all that cross messaging either. And isn't it? You remember, do you? When the NFL and professional athletes like were patriotic, brought the big giant flag out. That's like, we set all the politics aside, we set all the culture stuff aside, and we just come watch a game. And that was great. Not anymore. That's politicized too. And is the NFL going to survive? Hey, you guys, knock yourself out. Team owners, Jerry Jones with the Cowboys? Holy cow. Knock yourselves out, and the market will deal with you. And I think the market's going to find you guilty of pandering. We'll see what happens with that. We'll be right back. Okay, we'll spend a little more time in the sludge because I'm just not, the mainstream media doesn't talk about this stuff, and there's other sources, other people telling the truth, but don't have the huge platform of the mainstream media. But people like Dr. Michael Brown, who's on the air, precedes me, Steve Dace on The Blaze. I think Glenn Beck's doing a good job in many ways. I think Sean Hannity, it drives me nuts. Rush Limbaugh, I think, does a great job of bringing things up, but he's mostly commentary and stuff on what's going on, specifically politically, but all the cultural stuff he touches on a fair amount, but in-depth stories, not as much. And so with whatever little platform God's given me, I'm going to keep bringing this stuff up, because the last thing we need to do is fall asleep. We've been asleep. That's part of the problem. You drive around, listen, watch. You just drive around over the weekend. We're getting ready to sell our house. We're not leaving the area, but we're getting ready to sell our house. You go to the store, you go to a restaurant over here, you know, people with their masks and all that stuff. But largely, people are going about their business, right? So you drive around in nicer parts of the country and everything seems to be fine. But when you get on the news, you get on the internet, you get on Instagram, you get on Twitter, you start going to look at things that the mainstream media is not putting out there, and it gets nasty fast. Tomorrow, by the way, it's going to be Uncle Tom Day on the Steve Noble Show tomorrow. Uncle Tom, meaning African-Americans that have become conservative politically, all of a sudden they're labeled generally Uncle Toms. Or, I mean, recently I heard, this is really bad, I mean, that they're called coons. I'm like, what? What? Who does that? Well, generally, it's liberal African-Americans calling conservative African-Americans those names. But the Uncle Tom thing especially. So I've got four members of the African-American community tomorrow on the show who are all a part of Blexit, who are all a part of African-Americans that are leaving the Democrat Party and are becoming conservative. There's an event, Black Votes Matter, coming up in just another, like 2 weeks from now, here in Raleigh, North Carolina, just to try to encourage people to engage a conversation. Have a bunch of African-Americans that are going to be speaking. Clarence Henderson's going to be on the show tomorrow. He's calling in. He's a civil rights legend. Another brother of mine, Antoine, that's going to be in here in the studio with me, and a couple other callers. The head of Frederick Douglass Foundation in North Carolina, Keverick's going to be calling in. So it's going to be a great show tomorrow talking about African-Americans and conservatism. And so, I mean, that's necessary. It's an incredibly important conversation, especially as the country continues to swirl down the tubes. So that'll be tomorrow. Not sure yet what we're doing on Wednesday. Thursday, we'll have Pastor Chad Harvey back here in the studio from RFA Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Great pastor, great preacher, very bold. If you're offended easily, you would never want to go to that church. If you like it bold and strong and right in your face and you're here in town, you would enjoy that. So Chad Harvey will be back. And we're talking about God's providence, which is something we need to really make sure we're studying and understanding, especially in these tumultuous days. Speaking of tumultuous, here we go. Cuties on Netflix. Okay? So this is just a perfect example of a Romans 1 society. And so let me start with this one, and then I'm going to go to another story from Pastor James Emery White, who's down in Charlotte, Mecklenburg Community Church, called MEC. PhD, brilliant guy, and had a text message exchange with his daughter's 33-year-old daughter the other day, and so I'm going to, about cuties. But check this out. Cuties director Mamona Dacour, well, however you pronounce that, defended her film. This is on Netflix, right? It's these 11 and 12-year-old girls that are in like a dance thing, and it's highly sexualized, and it's just, it looks horrible. It's even worse than that. But watch this. Just watch how depraved. This is Romans 1. You become a student of Romans 1, you'll understand everything going on in the culture today. So the director, Mamona Dacour, whatever, defended her film amid criticism that hypersexualized young girls. While participating in a panel discussion at the Toronto Film Festival, she said the indie film was a social commentary on how young girls are treated, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Quote, "It's because I saw so many things and so many issues around me lived by young girls that I decided to make this film and sound an alarm and say we need to protect our children." Huh? She also argued it's bold, it's feminist. So which is it, lady? But it's so important and necessary to create a debate and to find solutions. For me as an artist, for politicians and parents, it's a real issue. According to IMDb, Cuties follows an 11-year-old girl named Amy. So it's actually a film that probably looks like a documentary. Played by Faitha Youssef, who joins a group of dancers named the Cuties. The preteen grows, quote unquote, aware of her burgeoning femininity, upsetting her mother and her values in the process. And the girl's like 11. After apologizing for using the wrong artwork, a Netflix spokesperson also told Fox News on September 10th, Cuties is a social commentary against the sexualization of young children. By sexualizing young children? That's what they're doing here, and this is what the lady's defending, the director, Mamona Dacour. She's saying, oh, this is, we're trying to deal with the issue. So you deal with the issue of sexualizing young girls by sexualizing young girls. And she can't see that? Romans 1, suppress the truth, replace it with a lie. Now listen to this. Christine Pelosi, attorney and daughter of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, did this on Netflix. Hi, Netflix. From a customer and former ADA in San Francisco DA's Child Abuse Sexual Assault Unit, Cuties hypersexualizes girls my daughter's age, no doubt, to the delight of pedophiles like the ones I prosecuted. Cancel this, apologize, work with experts to heal your harm. Hashtag cancel Netflix. Former Democratic presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard said Netflix child porn Cuties will certainly whet the appetite of pedophiles and help fuel the child sex trafficking trade. One in four victims of trafficking are children. It happened to my friend's 13-year-old daughter. Netflix, you are now complicit. Hashtag cancel Netflix. Actress and women's activist Evan Rachel Wood wrote on Instagram stories, anyone who says this is a conspiracy or this isn't a child exploitation needs to seriously wake up. None of this was necessary for the story. These are 11-year-old girls. Cuties crossed so many lines. It was shot in a predatory manner without any sense of serious consequences. And Ted Cruz is saying he's going to call for the Department of Justice to investigate Netflix and the Cuties filmmakers, as they should, for child pornography. But the go back. This is Romans 1. This is why the gospel is the only solution for stuff like this. The lady's saying we need to sound an alarm about this issue and protect our children by sexualizing children. You can't see that, lady? She can't. I really don't think she can. Based on Romans 1, she suppressed the truth, replaced it with a lie. She's self-righteous. But she's making money off the controversy of sexualizing 11-year-old girls. And you make money in this country and around the world when you do that. So Pastor James Emery White down in Charlotte, North Carolina, shared this on from his website. I received a series of text messages from my 33-year-old daughter, Rebecca, who is also the mother of three. I received her permission to share a lightly edited version of them. So this is his daughter texting him. Changing the subject, have you seen Cuties on Netflix yet? It's the film that has been so controversial. I watched it last night. It was so horrible, I'm still depressed by it. Netflix and the director said that it was a condemnation of the sexualization of young girls. However, I did not think they did enough to make that point. There was way too many shocking moments and close-ups of hyper-sexualized dance moves. I was cringing and horrified through most of it. I wanted to see it because one of the big critiques is that people who are against it had apparently not seen the movie. After having watched it, I agree that it should be taken down. I feel like it will fuel pedophile tendencies. Plus, the actresses in the movie are victims, in my opinion. There really aren't that many consequences for the choices that the girls make. She even posted a photograph of her genitals on social media, and the only consequence is that her friends say that they think people will think they're sluts now. And you know, these are 11-year-old girls. That's 11-year-old girls played by, I don't know, 12 or 13-year-old girls, all being sexually taken advantage of, all being abused. It's child pornography about stopping child pornography. And that's Romans 1 and Isaiah. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. We'll pick it up there, believe it or not, when we come back. So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% seems... Okay, welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. TheSteveNobleShow.com, by the way. And if you missed the show, want to check out past shows, we're pretty much on every regular big podcast platform you can be on. And while you're there, if you want to get your mind fed in a different way, check out the newer podcast that I just launched back in May called Who Is This SOB? Yes, that stands for what you think it does, but it's not me getting on a podcast and then letting it all hang out. It's me engaging the lost world in some of their most popular podcasts. But right now, an interesting dynamic, the Lord is doing something interesting with the Who Is This SOB podcast. So about 3 weeks ago, I did one with our oldest son, Hayden, who's 25, getting ready to move to San Francisco. Great born-again Christian, strong Christian, pursuing God more than most people I know, but he has some political opinions that aren't the same as mom and dad. And how do you deal with that? So I'm starting to have more conversations with people under the age of 30 that grew up in the church and call themselves Christians and are Christians. Profess faith in Christ, born again, the whole nine, but have some different opinions on things. So just did an interview last week with a former student, went to Liberty University. You'd be surprised at how many liberals there are at Liberty University, and got his take on all of that. And Jerry Falwell Jr. and young people in the church and young people in conservatives and young people in Trump, because I'm going to, God allowing me to kind of bridge that gap and have those conversations, which I think is really important for both sides to hear. And we're not reaching that age group, right? So that's going on. I got another one coming up that is going to be with my niece, who happens to teach at an inner city school in Philadelphia. I did an SOB podcast recently on nice white parents, which basically lays the blame for all of our public school problems at the feet of, you guessed it, nice white parents, produced by the New York Times. And so I engaged that. Well, she's a teacher. She's going to listen to that series. And then we're going to do a podcast on that between the two of us. And politically, she's left in a lot of ways, very woke in a lot of ways, was at a Black Lives Matter protest and got pepper sprayed in Philadelphia. And we're just not having conversations across these divides. But I am now, and God's allowing that. And so maybe that's where this podcast is going to go, is just conversations between people, quote unquote, like us and people, quote unquote, like them, especially 35 and under, because we're losing that generation because we're not having good conversations at all. So I'm working on that. Okay. All right. Back to this thing with Cuties, and then we'll move on. This is from a text between Pastor James Emery White, who's down in Charlotte, North Carolina, brilliant guy, PhD, great educator, great pastor, great church down there called Mecklenburg Community Church, otherwise known as MEC, to the people down there. But she was checking out the cuties thing going, oh my, well, so many people are complaining about it, but that haven't seen it, so I'm going to see it. And it was worse than what she's expecting. As you know, these are 11-year-olds she's talking about. They watch porn. She's talking about the girls in the cuties story, right? Which is a film that's supposed to be a message, that's what the director said, against taking advantage of these children. We need to protect our children. And how do you do that, ma'am? Well, by sexualizing them. That's the depraved, twisted, inside-out world of the unbeliever, especially the one totally given over. Like at the abortion clinic, when we were out there on Saturday, and by the way, kudos to like 30, 32 of my students from my homeschool classes here in Raleigh that came out on Saturday to the abortion clinic with Love Life on Youth Day. They were out there engaging the darkness. They were blown away, as most people are when they come out there. But the escorts and the clinic workers across the street see us across the street, and we're evil incarnate, terrible, backwards, hateful people. They're trying to steal rights and make and condemn. So to them, we're absolutely the enemy. They hate us. They think we're just terrible. And we don't hate them. We love them. And we prayed for them while we were there. But that's what's going on here. A completely upside down, inside out world. Okay. They watch porn, talking about the girls and cuties, 11 and 12 year olds. Okay. It's part of the show. Ask a boy through social media if he wants to touch them. Videotape a boy going to the bathroom. Talk about condoms and AIDS. Talk about sexual encounters they've had. They've had 11 and 12 year olds. What? Not to mention the footage of them dancing like strippers. This is the 33-year-old mom texting her pastor dad about this show, okay? That's what I'm reading. What is so interesting, too, is that the girl's mom is struggling because her husband is bringing home a second wife. So when the girl does eventually return to her childhood values, it's in the context of a family with a polygamous marriage. So when she returns to her conservative roots, there's still the idea that one woman is not enough for a man. Yet the director, Maimouna Dakour, who's obviously highly intelligent and civilized, calls this a show. It's feminist. That's feminist. I just need a few more women in my life because you guys are just like playthings. That's feminist. Wow. God help these people. I was so shocked by how far they went. And this is a 33-year-old mom texting this, okay? And they just didn't do enough to show the dangers of it. The bottom line is in the film is that a girl gets the most attention by being hypersexualized. I was so depressed and sick after. I can't decide if I'm glad I watched it or if I should have stopped watching it. OMG, I just watched the official trailer. It looks just like a teen dance movie. And meanwhile, Cardi B's WAP song is number one in the world. Also disgusting. And I think I'll just let that be that. Actually, I do have one thing to add. Amen. James Emery White to his daughter. And I can't even begin to tell you, Cardi B, part of me is disgusted and just wants to say all kinds of terrible things about her. The other side of me as a father and as a Christian is just broken. One of the most successful artists, quote unquote, artists out there, and her Cardi B, the big song that's even playing on the radio called WAP, wet blank blank. I can't tell you. It's just porn. I mean, I just looked it up and the lyrics, I'm like, this is playing on the radio? How is that possible? You'd have to literally take out about 7 to 8% of the content just to get it past the FCC, but it's out there. And that's what our culture's consuming. Which is why Netflix will get away with cuties and why cuties is going to make them money. This kind of demon only comes out by prayer and fasting. I've said it several times, which we need to be doing more of, friends. Prayer and fasting. I mean, we get mad. You watch Tucker Carlson, you listen to Rush Limbaugh, you tune me in or whatever, and we get mad, but do we get busy? And when we get busy, I'm not talking about canceling your Netflix thing. If you feel called to do that, knock yourself out. I think that's a noble thing to do. No, I'm talking about prayer and fasting because we ain't doing much of that, are we? Let's be honest. And so you really think you're going to see things change? These types of demonic things only come out, Jesus said, by prayer and fasting. Democrats, this is exciting. Democrats might not accept election results if Trump wins. Street battles could ensue. One Atlantic writer was saying, if you think liberals were upset when Donald Trump defeated Hillary Clinton in 2016, just wait until you see what happens if he beats Joe Biden. The Progressive publication warned readers on Sunday that Democrats might not be able to concede if President Trump wins re-election, especially if he loses the popular vote but gets to remain in the White House, Atlanta contributing writer Shadi Hamid wrote. I find myself truly worried about only one scenario, that Trump will win re-election and Democrats and others on the left will be unwilling, even unable, to accept the result. You think Portland's bad now? A loss by Joe Biden, he writes, under these circumstances is the worst case, not because Trump will destroy America, he can't, but because it is the outcome most likely to undermine faith in democracy, resulting in more of the social unrest and street battles that cities including Portland, Oregon, and Seattle have seen in recent months. Many American cities have been overwhelmed since George Floyd. Now the Atlantic's contributing writer says Republicans should root for a Biden victory to avoid more chaos. For this reason, he writes, strictly law and order Republicans who have responded in dismay to scenes of rioting and looting have an interest in Biden winning, even if they could never bring themselves to vote for him. Trump 2020 Deputy Communications Director Matt Wolking saw the column and wrote, they're not even hiding it anymore. If you don't let us Democrats win, our rioters will burn down your cities, Wolkins added. Yep. 50 days from today, friends, prayer and fasting, because no matter which way it goes, I think we're going to see more civil unrest, but especially if Trump wins. Then there's this. Biden campaign lawyers up for election-related court battles. Have you heard this one? The Biden campaign has been quietly building a massive, quote-unquote, election protection program, including former Attorney General Eric Holder and hundreds of other lawyers in preparation for a legal battle in the event of a contested election. This Republican, this Democratic Republic we have, friends, is beginning to slip away, literally. Prayer and fasting. Got it? The former vice president's campaign told Fox News Monday that over the past several months, they have created the largest election protection program in presidential campaign history, involving integrated legal communications and political strategies for what they anticipate to be an unprecedented election. The campaign said Bob Bauer has signed on full-time as a senior campaign advisor. He's on leave from the faculty of NYU Law School, and he served as the general counsel of the Obama-Biden campaigns in 08 and 2012. Well, there you go. The source also stressed that while the legal program has brought on hundreds of lawyers, thousands of lawyers and volunteers are involved in their broader voter protection program. Think the 2020 version of the American Revolution. That's what you should be thinking. And 12 months ago, I never would have bought any of this stuff. I would have said it's all conspiracy theory. It's all hyperbole. But I don't say that anymore. Meanwhile, President Trump's reelection campaign, also bracing for the possibility of a protracted legal battle, formed what it's called Lawyers for Trump, a coalition to protect the integrity of November's vote. Welcome back to Bush-Gore 2000. That's where we're headed. I will be stunned, shocked, completely freaked out if that isn't what happens. I'll be totally freaked out by that. All right, we're going to come back and talk to David Fisher. We're going to do a little Money Monday update. We'll step away from this craziness. But I'll get to this in the coming days. The coming coup, Democrats are laying the groundwork for revolution right in front of our eyes. This is from Michael Anton at The American Mind. Just to whet your appetite a little bit. And then remember, tomorrow, 4 Uncle Toms on the show. But when we come back, David Fisher, we'll be right back. All right, everybody, take a deep breath. God still is on the throne, and he still rules the universe with his feet up. Okay, so even though I spend, unfortunately, way too many days talking about the difficulties facing us in America, the degradation of our society, what's going on in our government, what's going on in the electoral process, whether we're talking about COVID or fires or hurricanes, all that stuff's happening. Everything's on the table in 2020. Whether we're talking about any of that stuff, just remember God is still in control, that what Satan intends for evil, God will use for good, and that he still rules the universe. The providence of God, which we're going to talk about on Theology Thursday this week with Pastor Chad Harvey from RFA Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. God still rules the universe with his feet up. He's not pulling his hair out going, oh, I can't believe they did this. I can't. Where did that? I didn't see the cuties things coming from. Where did that happen? I can't believe Netflix. No. And remember, if you're born again Christian, that's your father we're talking about. And you're covered under his wings like a hen with her chicks. And you're perfectly safe. So fear not, friends. Fear not. Let's talk to our good friend David Fisher from Landmark Capital, landmarkgold.com. Landmarkgold.com. Their phone number is always 844-879-8882 with a Money Monday update. David, how are you?
I love the words you just said, Steve. It witnesses to my soul. Exactly. I'm doing great.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen for that. And it's not because they're my words. It's because it's the word. And that's the only real authority I have. And so I lean on that every time. It's great to hear your voice. Thanks for calling in. I know we have a lot to talk about today real quickly in our update. But Money Monday updates with David Fisher. We always start with a passage of scripture in one of my favorite books. I wrote a long devotional series out of the book of James. So let's start there.
Chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. The NIV talks about being undefiled, one version, and it says pure and faultless. I felt so strong. I've never felt this strong before about a passage. And I don't know if it's something about I'm almost sensing like, and I don't want to say thus saith the Lord, that somebody's thinking about an adopting or taking some kids in. And I just want to tell you that I am a product of being an orphan. I lost both my parents when I was young. Three, my dad died, and my mom died at nine, cancer and heart attack. And so I know what it's like to be an orphan. I also know what it's like to be taken in by a Christian family and being raised in Christian principles and being given the opportunity to accept Christ in my life at the time, you know, at age 16 when he made it really apparent, he, the Lord. And so that's that application. And the other thing for all believers, it talks about, you know, keeping yourself unstained, or you know, the other version is called polluted. You know, the world is throwing all kinds of stuff at us in every situation you can fathom, and that is, you know, that is the work of the world, the work of the devil, all those things. They want to, you know, water down the gospel, influence Christians, do everything we can right now to not just abstain, but to put up the filter so that nothing filters through, that we remain pure and faultless before the Lord, and that is the witness that the world really needs to see.
Amen. That's exactly right, and that's so important for us, and I think we all struggle that one way or another, to keep ourselves unstained, unpolluted, separated from the world, because we can be very worldly, but the more worldly we are, the more we partake in what the world offers us, the more that grieves the Holy Spirit and compromises the Holy Spirit's power within us, and it compromises our witness. And then we also back out a little bit in terms of how we speak up publicly, because we know to a certain extent, David, that we're hypocrites. And so we kind of shelter ourselves. We kind of shut ourselves down by being too much in the world. And it's so important for us to remember that we're called to be holy, which is called upon, it's called out ones, removed from the world, not like the world. We strive for moral perfection, of course, through the Holy Spirit's power and through Jesus calling us. So if you love me, you'll obey my commands. But we have to remember, we compromise a lot of our authority and witness when we compromise and dance with the devil, known as the world. So what a great word. Thank you for that. Updates on the markets, a little bit of a turnaround. So what's going on there?
So the Dow is still down year-to-date, Steve, at 3.4% down. All the other indexes are up. S&P is up 2.9%. And the NASDAQ up 20%, but down from last week, obviously. Gold and silver, still the number one assets. Gold up 27.9% and silver up over 50%.
And so today, you know, we had a big pullback the other week, and things were tumbling quickly and a lot of corrections there, especially in the tech side, some wild things going on with Tesla and Apple and everything. But they're starting to rebound today from last week's pullback. So what should we expect between now and the elections? 50 days from today, David, is the election, and it's going to bring more tumult, I think, on November 4th, regardless of who wins. But I think especially if Trump wins. So what can we expect in terms of the market?
So that 50-day is also a market number. It's called the 50-day moving average. So obviously, we talked about this last week real quick. SoftBank, the big Japanese multinational conglomerate holding billions of dollars, you know, ran the market up. They sold their big whale hedge fund positions in the tech, and the market found that out, and they came tumbling down. So, but technically, stocks went down to the 50-day moving average, which just common sense or layman's term is it's a support level. It's trying to bounce off that, and it's doing that today. However, that doesn't mean that we're out of the woods by any means. The technical damage was done with last week's sell-off. It was significant. Stocks are not back into a definitive uptrend, but they're leaning upward. The fundamental side, though, is leading the charge. The Federal Reserve is creating the most amount of cheap money ever in history, and this benefits the stock market. But stocks are still drastically overbought and overvalued, so just be careful. But that's what's happening in the marketplace.
Yeah, and it's so wild to watch the stock side of it because I've got several other friends that are in on the stock trading side of it. And you can have a company that comes out with killer earnings. They beat Wall Street, but then their stock price still tumbles. Because we've got so many other factors besides, hey, you know, economic reality and economic benchmarks for an individual company just aren't enough for the stock market anymore. And so whether the company's growing and is profitable and beats expectations, you can still have a stock price that gets beat up. So it's just wild to pay attention to and see it happening. You mentioned gold and silver still outperforming the major stock indexes. What's kind of been the major force behind that this year?
Well, the obvious is the government spending rate is the fastest time in history. The deficit we just hit last week, $3.3 trillion, by according to the Congressional Budget Office, which simply says we're spending $3.3 trillion and is coming in revenue. Now, that number, we hit overspend $1 trillion of budget deficit before COVID. So some of it has to do with COVID, and some of it just is implemented and baked into the system already. But the other thing is that's happening is the Fed, they're creating the most amount of money. I mentioned that. But China, the second largest non-U.S. holder of treasuries, is now saying they're going to sell 25% of their treasuries. This is a huge problem. This is how the system works. This is how we keep the debt system work. We get the rest of the world to buy our debt. So if the second largest non-U.S. holder is selling treasuries, you know, the largest U.S. holder is the Fed. The second largest non-U.S. is right behind Japan, as China. They said the reason is they see a potential of default in the United States. This has never been said by any country ever in the history of our country. So either it might be political. I know there's a lot of riff sure. and fighting between China and us. There is, when you do the simple math and take away the politicalness of it, the teeter-totters tipped the other direction. You cannot mathematically pay this debt off at this point. It's impossible. Without a miracle of the Lord.
Yeah.
So we're facing some reality, and big decisions need to be happening. And unfortunately, nobody in Congress, we're not going to see any decisions being made between now and elections.
No.
And we might not for the next year, but something needs to give, and hopefully it's not the default.
Yeah, and when's the last time Congress made any good financial decisions anyway? I mean, government might shut down, I'm always like, thank you, Lord, they need to shut down, and the less they do, the better. But back to gold and silver, who's buying gold and why? And earlier today, I mean, I listened to Glenn Beck for a number of different reasons, and I wouldn't say he's begging people to look at gold, but he's coming pretty close to that because he's talking about the increased debt. He's talking about the federal budget deficit relative to the GDP. He's talking about the devaluing of the U.S. dollar. And Glenn Beck can describe himself and has described himself as a catastrophist. So I always take plenty of salt with the things that he says. But I'm hearing this kind of clarion call more and more about getting into precious metals just to kind of hedge yourself against the craziness going on in the markets and with the debt situation. So who is buying gold right now and why?
Well, besides Warren Buffett making that big move, it opened the floodgates for gold and silver to be embraced on a whole bunch of different levels. Before he made that announcement, several billionaires, I never heard so many people that are billionaires buying gold or recommending gold, hedge fund managers, even pensions now. We mentioned that before, the Ohio police and fire pension. So a catastrophe is going to come, just like bull markets come. You got to get prepared.
Yeah, all about diversification. People want to find out more about how to utilize precious metals, David, to do just that. How can they get a hold of you?
844-879-8882 or landmarkgold.com.
Excellent, David. Thanks so much for calling in. As always, God bless you, brother. Have a great week. We'll talk to you real soon.
God bless you.
All right, pal. Thanks so much. We'll talk soon. That was David Fisher, landmarkgold.com. As always, tomorrow, four African-Americans who happen to be very conservative. So kind of an Uncle Tom Day, because that's what people call them, especially liberal African-Americans. Cannot stand it, a lot of them, when blacks become conservative. So we'll have four of them on the show tomorrow. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.